Our scripture reading this afternoon is found in Acts 20, verse 27. Please turn to this text, Acts 20, 27. The title of this message, the first in a series of messages on eschatology or the last things, Why Study Bible Prophecy, Acts 20, 27. Paul the Apostle is speaking here to the elders of the church at Ephesus. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The thoughts of God about the future are what we call prophecy. The technical theological term for prophecy is eschatology, or the study of last things. Prophecy is the revealing of God's intentions that He will most certainly bring to pass. The Lord Jesus said in John 13, 19, Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am He. Bible prophecy answers the questions of God's people about the future. What is the destiny of planet Earth and of the human race that lives here? What about the unbelievably wicked man called the Antichrist of whom the Scriptures speak? How can I escape the terrible things that Bible prophecy says are coming on this earth? What is the future of God's chosen people, Israel, who have been so terribly mistreated during the centuries? How shall we prepare to meet the bridegroom if we do not know what the prophets have said concerning the signs of His coming? In Luke 21:28, the Lord Jesus said, When these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. It is Bible prophecy that tells us what these things are. In Mark 13:37, the Lord Jesus says, What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. But how shall we watch without studying Bible prophecy? Many preachers never preach on Bible prophecy, especially preachers of the so-called Reformed persuasion. Most preachers will say that they believe that the Lord Jesus is coming back visibly, bodily, and gloriously someday. But my friends, God's Word has a lot more to say about His coming than this. Some who have been members of Baptist churches for years have never heard a sermon on Bible prophecy. In this message, I shall urge upon my hearers to make serious and careful study of Bible prophecy. Understanding Bible prophecy requires more than a surface reading of prophecy. It requires study, searching the Scriptures, and comparing Scripture with Scripture. To study Bible prophecy is to search God's Word about the future. It is the duty and privilege of Christians to study Bible prophecy and to know for certain those things which Revelation 1:1 says must shortly come to pass. In the message this afternoon, I shall propose 7 reasons why we should study Bible prophecy. 7 reasons. In answer to the question, why study Bible prophecy? First of all, we should study Bible prophecy because Bible prophecy is part of the whole counsel of God. It actually is a major part of the whole counsel of God. Some Bible scholars have estimated that prophecy makes up 2/3 of the whole Bible when prophecies of Christ's first coming and His second coming are included. Whole books of the Bible are given to prophecy. Most notable are Daniel and Revelation. Someone else has pointed out that there are three times as many prophecies to prepare Christians for Christ's second coming as for His first coming. A very large portion of God's Word is unfulfilled prophecy. And thus it is proper to treat it as if it were profitable. It's not proper to treat it as if it was unprofitable. Especially since 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Those who do not study prophecy deprive themselves of a large portion of God's revelation. God's pastors must preach the whole counsel of God, as Paul says in Acts 20:27, that he did. Let's turn to that again if you still have it open. Look at it. Paul is speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, that in other words, the pastors. And he says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And so the pastor is responsible for every word in this book. You know, now I'll never get that done, but it's my goal. And John Gill did it. John Gill preached on every verse in the Bible. It took him 62 years. And right at the close of his life, he took those sermons and wrote that great commentary on the entire Word of God. But the pastor is responsible for the whole counsel of God. Bible prophecy is certainly included in what the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Now, it is popular today to refer to Bible prophecy as a non-essential of God's Word. You know, I never did like that, but the more I thought about it now, I really don't like that. Anything, you know, a lot of them say, well, you Baptists are majoring on non-essentials because you major on baptism and the Lord's Supper. My friends, to call anything in God's Word non-essential is to, in effect, call that thing unimportant. But there is no part of God's Word that is unimportant. The very fact that God revealed these prophecies proves that He thought they are essential. Who would dare to determine what in God's Word is non-essential? I mean, you set yourself up as judge and jury of the Word of God if you determine what is essential and what is non-essential. Who would presume to say that Bible prophecy is non-essential? Do we dare to presume to say that to say what parts of God's Word may be safely studied and which parts may be ignored? I know preachers that do that. Usually, calling portions of God's Word non-essential is simply an excuse for not studying those portions. In The Purpose-Driven Life, Rick Warren suggests that we should not concern ourselves with prophecy, nor should we focus on the Lord's return. Warren and people like him seem to think that Bible prophecy is too controversial and it's best to be left alone. But the controversial nature of Bible prophecy is no excuse for not studying it. Let me ask you a question. What doctrine in God's Word has not been controversial? Just think about the doctrines. Christ's deity, the virgin birth, Christ's resurrection, His atoning death, Christian separation. What doctrine has not been controversial? A pastor has not declared the whole counsel of God until he has seriously preached Bible prophecy. Without the preaching and study of Bible prophecy, God's people are only half fed. Christ's pastors are responsible for the whole of God's truth. All of it. I like that saying, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what the pastor is responsible for. One truth neglected, therefore, will result in injury to the souls of a pastor's sheep. Failure or refusal to preach and study Bible prophecy brings guilt and loss to pastor and people alike. It is truly sad that many pastors actually tell their people, well, you don't need to get involved in the study of Bible prophecy, and you ought to leave the subject alone. Woe to the pastor who keeps his people ignorant of what is coming. You know, if people are ignorant of what's coming, they'll be unprepared. They'll be surprised. They'll be shocked when it comes because no warning was given to them. Shame on pastors who downplay the study of what God's Word contains. I like to read Horatius Bonar. And Horatius Bonar said in his great book, Prophetical Landmarks, woe be to us if future events overtake us unawares and surround us in their fury, unsheltered and unprepared. This could be destructive to the Christian, to be ignorant. And then all of a sudden when these last things start happening, to be surprised and shocked. And yet, in most of our Baptist churches today, there is absolute silence on the subject of Bible prophecy. If this continues, then we may expect that when Christ our Lord returns, very few Christians are going to be prepared for the event. And there will be a repetition of what happened when He came the first time. Yeah, nobody knew when He came the first time, just a few wise men and a few others. Same thing's going to happen if we continue this silence on Bible prophecy. Why study Bible prophecy? Number two, because God in His Word urges us to study Bible prophecy. Look at 2 Peter 1:19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. God in His Word urges us to study Bible prophecy. Peter is speaking here to Christians. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto, that is unto prophecy, ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Peter says here that we have a sure word of prophecy. I know some people have got a sure book of prophecy, at least in their minds. They've got Clarence Larkin's Seven Dispensations or some of those things. Brother, that's not the sure word of prophecy. This is the sure word of prophecy right here, the book. We have a sure word of prophecy. How essential then that we study that prophecy. Here in this passage in 2 Peter, God's Word urges us to study Bible prophecy when He says, you do well to take heed to the light of Bible prophecy. Taking heed, that's the phrase I want to focus on here. Taking heed demands study. Turn to 1 Timothy 4:13. For an interesting word comparison here, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul tells the preacher Timothy here to, till I come, give attendance to, that's the words I want to focus on, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Now this word that is translated give attendance to here is the same word That's translated in 2 Peter 1:19 as take heed. Very same word. If we obey 2 Peter 1:19 and take heed to prophecy, we will have to study Bible prophecy. We're going to take heed to it. We have to study it. Most Christians are not exhorted by their pastors to give heed to Bible prophecy. Prophecy was not given to be ignored, as so many preachers do today. We are to take heed of it. Prophecy is a sure word from God, not an area of speculation or guesswork. Now, you know, I recognize there are people that Charles Spurgeon called prophecy mongers in this world. They are hawking prophecy. They are selling it. And they write books on the rapture and all these things and make millions. And most of that's speculation. But prophecy is not an area of speculation. Brother, if you get off in speculation, you've departed from what the Scripture says. Prophecy, Bible prophecy is not an area of speculation or guesswork. If studied under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Bible prophecy will not lead to confusion or delusion. Prophecy, properly studied, will not fill the mind with wild notions. And note I said properly studied. Proper study of Bible prophecy is not getting sidetracked in our preaching and study. I mean, if it's such a large portion of the Word of God, it's certainly not to be sidetracked to study it and to preach it and hear it once in a while. Isaiah and David would never have said that what they had to say about the coming Messiah was not a matter to be studied closely because it might cause confusion or speculation or harm or get people sidetracked. They never would have said that. No investigation of Bible prophecy can be called speculative or wrong so long as it is confined to the written Word of God. Other scriptures urge God's people to study prophecy. In Isaiah 45:11, God speaks to His people Israel. Let's turn to that. Isaiah 45:11. God is speaking to His people Israel here. And I had never seen this before. It just jumped out at me. Isaiah 45:11. Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and His Maker, ask of me things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. In Matthew 16:3, the Lord Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites because they could not discern the signs of the times. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? Well, the only way to discern the signs of the times is to study Bible prophecy. In Luke 24, verses 25 and 26, the Lord Jesus called some of His disciples fools and slow of heart because they did not believe all that the prophets had prophesied about His first coming. Let's turn to that. Luke 24, 25 and 26. Luke chapter 24, verses 25 and 26. Note the reason for the Lord's criticism here. Then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, that's His first coming, and to enter into His glory, that's His second coming. Look next at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Here we are told not to let slip the things in God's Word. We do so. We let them slip if we don't take heed to those things. Earnest heed, the verse says. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. What have we heard? Everything in this book. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Why study Bible prophecy? Thirdly, because Bible prophecy reveals and demonstrates the sovereignty of God over the future. I've purposely avoided this subject in the past, but it's become so serious, I believe it needs to be mentioned at this time. A new and extremely pernicious heresy has arisen in our day called open theism. Have you heard about open theism? Open theism says there's about four things that are just absolutely heretical. It says, first of all, that God does not know all future events. Second, it says that God is sometimes surprised by things that happen. Thirdly, open theism says that God learns from and adapts to unfolding future events. And fourthly, open theism says that God is sometimes forced to abandon plan A for plan B. But my friends, the study of Bible prophecy makes clear that God knows all things, especially the future. Especially the future. Let's turn to Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. I probably should have chosen this passage for my text because it's such a loaded passage in relation to prophecy, Bible prophecy. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 says that God knows the end from the beginning. Now, put that on a chart. Out here's the beginning and out here's the end. Back here at the beginning, God knows the end. That's what he's saying. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. Not just knowing the end from the beginning, but declaring it. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God knows all the future. Look at Acts 15:18 for a New Testament statement of this fact. Acts 15 and verse 18. God knows all the future. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Now turn back to Isaiah again, this time chapter 41, verses 21 through 23. Isaiah 41, 21 through 23. God is challenging Israel here. He says, you go get your false gods to reveal the future to you. They can't do it because only the one true God can do so. Isaiah 41, 21 and 20 through 23. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them, the false gods, show the former things what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them. Or declare us things for to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed and behold it together. Of course, it's obvious those gods couldn't do that. Only God can do that. God knows the future. How does He know the future? Why does He know the future? Because He has determined the future. He has decreed all things. I'm glad you used that word, Brother Johnny, last Sunday. Decreed. The decrees of God. God knows the future because He's decreed the future. The study of Bible prophecy reveals that God has a purpose and a program in this world. In prophecy, God lets men know what's going to happen. I mean, He not only knows it, He lets us know. Turn to Isaiah 42 this time and verse 9. Similar to the one we read earlier, Isaiah 42 and verse 9 says that God reveals the things which will come to pass in the future. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. In Matthew 24, 25, the Lord Jesus says concerning things yet future, behold, I have told you before. God has revealed to us what will take place in the future. And let me just add this. At least the things we need to know. Now, you're not going to be able to pick up this book and use it like a fortune teller or like some people try to use Nostradamus. You're not going to be able to do that. But the things we need to know about the future, God has revealed them to us. There are, of course, some things that God does not tell us. And these are what He calls, in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things. We're not responsible for the secret things. We're responsible for what is revealed. Bible prophecy can never fail to be fulfilled. Why? Because it's the announcement of God's purpose and God's decrees. Studying prophecy makes clear that God is sovereign. That means that God is in control, and He is working all things after the counsel of His own will, as Ephesians 1:11 says. One mark of deity is knowing all things future and knowing them infallibly. Open theism, in saying that God does not know all future events, would thus destroy the deity of God. Fourthly, we should study Bible prophecy because the study of Bible prophecy exalts our Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of all things for a Christian is to exalt Christ, to bring glory to Him. I wonder if that's the reason you're living today. Do you ever think about what your purpose is on this earth? There it is, if you're a Christian, to exalt Christ, to bring glory to Him. The central subject of Bible prophecy is Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Revelation 19 and verse 10. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. This verse says that Bible prophecy testifies of Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:10. I'm going to read the whole verse, but the last phrase is what we're focusing on here. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. And here's the phrase. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The study of prophecy exalts Christ. Acts 10:43 says of Christ, to Him give all the prophets witness. 1 Peter 1:11 says that the Old Testament prophets spoke of Christ's coming glory. That is, the second coming out there in the future. Turn to 1 Peter 1:11. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 11. The prophets in the Old Testament spoke of Christ's coming glory. In other words, the future things. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, that is His first coming, and the glory that should follow His second coming. If the testimony of Jesus is the spirit or theme of prophecy, then how dare we say that prophecy is not important? Why study Bible prophecy? Number five, because the study of Bible prophecy promotes holy living. Our sanctification is encouraged by the study of prophecy. Turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3. Now, let me say before we read that, that verses 1 and 2 of this chapter speak of our hope of the return of Christ. And then verse 3 says that this hope should motivate us to holy living. And every man that hath this hope in him, the hope of Christ's return, purifieth himself even as he, Christ, is pure. In other words, it aids in our sanctification. Now turn to 2 Peter 3:11. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11 is talking about the last things, including the day of the Lord, the earth burning up, and things like that. And it asks the question, in light of these future events, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You see the connection between Bible prophecy and sanctification. Prophecy is contained in Scripture. The Scriptures only contain what is profitable for the building up of the new man. That, as 2 Timothy 3:17 says, the man of God may be perfect, or that means spiritually mature or complete. And that's talking about sanctification again. Almost without exception, I was amazed to find this out. Almost without exception, when the New Testament mentions Christ's return, it includes an exhortation to holy living and godliness. Now, there's about, I found about 29 or 30 mentions of Christ's return, and every one of them mentioned, connected that to holy living. Let's look, for example, at Titus 2, 11 through 13. Titus 2, 11 through 13. Now, I've heard a lot of Calvinists just romp and stomp on this verse. They take this, really go downtown preaching the doctrines of grace. But they leave out that part about Christ's return and sanctification connected to it. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. What does the grace of God teach us? That denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice that in connection with the second coming is mentioned holy living. Now look at 2 Peter 3, 13 and 14. You realize we're looking at a lot of verses in 1 and 2 Peter today. This time, 2 Peter 3, 13 and 14. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace. And here's sanctification, without spot and blameless. Studying Bible prophecy should lead us to live in obedience to God's Word concerning the way we live in this world. No wonder the devil doesn't want people to think about prophecy, because it leads to holy living. Why study Bible prophecy? Number six, because God's Word promises a blessing to those who do. Now, here's something you can really get out of this study. God promises a blessing to those who do. The book of Revelation is the climactic book of prophecy in God's Word. And the writer identifies this book as prophecy. Turn with me to Revelation 1, 1 and 2. Where John the Apostle identifies Revelation. He says it is prophecy. This book is prophecy. the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Now, in verse 3, a blessing is promised to those who read and hear and keep the words of this prophecy. Look at verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, you know, I'd like to just stop and preach a sermon on that verse. You think about it. You don't have to be a theologian, and you don't have to go to seminary, and you don't have to go to Bible college to get that blessing. All you have to do is read the prophecy. Read it. God promises a blessing. Maybe you can't read. Lots of people in world history have never been able to read. Doesn't matter. The Lord said, blessed is he that heareth. That hears the words. I wonder this afternoon, are you willing to turn away from the blessing of God on those who study Bible prophecy, because some people say it's too controversial or too obscure? Brother, I want that blessing. I want those crowns in there too, but I want that blessing. That's an easy one. Why study Bible prophecy? Finally, number 7, because the study of Bible prophecy gives us real hope and comfort in this dark and wicked world. The study of Bible prophecy brings hope. Brother, we need some hope right now, don't we? When it seems that God is being defeated on every hand, the study of Bible prophecy assures us that we have the hope of Christ's return. That's our blessed hope. In Titus 2:13, Paul calls it the blessed hope. If we have a good basic understanding of Bible prophecy, we ought to be able to live without fear, without defeat, without depression. Such study saves us from despair when evil men and seducers wax worse and worse. A serious student of Bible prophecy, I don't believe, will ever be a man of despair. The study of Bible prophecy is meant to bring comfort to God's people. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 says that we are to comfort one another with the prophecies of Christ's return and our resurrection from the dead at that time. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:18. We'll just look at the 18th verse there. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. I've read this many times in many funerals to bring comfort to the families of departed believers. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These words are the words about Christ's return and our resurrection at that time. The study of Bible prophecy brings peace to believers. The Lord's prophecy of His second coming in John 14:1-3 is meant to bring peace to His people. Let's turn to that. John 14:1-3. I've also read this in many funerals because it brings peace to God's people. John 14:1-3. The Lord Jesus is speaking here. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there ye may be also. Do you notice that? Let not your heart be troubled. That's peace. It's connected with I will come again. What a difference it would make if pastors would comfort their people with these things in this wicked, unstable and dangerous world in which we live. Let me just say in conclusion, Satan hates Bible prophecy. He hates it. He'll do anything to keep us from studying it, whether it be to deny it or get you confused or send a false prophet or whatever. He hates it. Why? Because he knows that Bible prophecy reveals his work and it also reveals his doom. And that Bible prophecy enables those who heed its warnings to avoid Satan's snares and pitfalls. So he tries everything he can to keep Christians from studying this subject. If Satan can't keep Christians from studying prophecy, then he goes to plan B, and he seeks to lead people by false teachers to pervert the teachings of Bible prophecy. So beware. Look at 2 Peter 2, 1 and 3 here. 2 Peter 2, 1 and 3. Here is a warning to God's people. Verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now look at verse 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Our next message next week, the Lord willing, is the last days. We'll look at the question, are we living in the last days? Many of you have asked me that question, the last days. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for this blessed privilege of reading and hearing and keeping and studying Bible prophecy. We pray that we would be faithful in studying this portion of God's Word as well as the rest. May we not be sidetracked by those who would try to keep us from studying what they say is too controversial or too obscure. Father, may we study Bible prophecy so that we can see Christ in a greater way and exalt Him in a greater way and receive all these other benefits that we've mentioned in the message today. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's holy name and for His sake. Amen.